You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last night, we heard from pro-choice advocate Sandra Flerk and Massachusetts Senate candidate Elizabeth Warren, but the man everyone agrees owned the night was former President Bill Clinton. Joining me now from Charlotte for a look at the speeches and the last-minute and somewhat controversial additions to the Democrats that the Democrats have made to their platform is WNYC senior reporter Bob Henley. Welcome back to our show, Bob.
Thanks for having me, Leonard.
And I understand you just saw New York Governor Andrew Cuomo speak. This was his only appearance in Charlotte. What was the reaction to him?
Well, he is really at this point, I'd say, probably the only Democratic governor that has a national stature media-wise that, say, Governor Christie has. The scene of this was a DoubleTree Hotel, and there's a huge tent that's an annex that they've made as an impromptu kind of breakfast hall. And it's been fairly leisurely all week long. And then this did feel like a presidential campaign because the press that was there was national political press. There wasn't anywhere to move. We're talking 20, 30 cameras. And he was making his case, unlike Christie, within the first 5 minutes of his address, he made it clear that he was there to support President Obama and galvanize, the New York State to try to win some congressional seats that have been Republican. But he also, there's no doubt, he had the pipes of a presidential hopeful.
Now, many governors have spoken, but not Andrew Cuomo. Is that because New York is already considered pretty much a safe state for the Democrats?
No, I believe it's the fact that Cuomo, who's, of course, his father's top lieutenant, saw firsthand what could happen. Let's remember 1984 and that tremendous keynote address that his father gave, considered actually the gold standard, now a footnote to history, although great literature. I think he's being very disciplined and recognizes that he's got to do things like pay attention to the fact that we need to restore the dairy herd in New York State so that the thriving yogurt industry doesn't have to import milk. It's that kind of granularity that should he decide to run in 2016, he can actually deliver some tangible examples of how he galvanized the state and revived the empire.
Well, he already has had an experience in Washington as a cabinet member.
Right, but that is very different from being the executive of a state like New York State that had itself really, especially in terms of manufacturing, it really has taken global trade very hard, even to the point of, upstate apple farms having to fight Chinese imports. I mean, getting back to basics, that granularity is so important to being effective.
Yesterday, before any of the major speeches, the Democrats voted to make two changes to their platform, which had already been approved unanimously. What did they feel the need to add the word God and the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel?
Well, I guess what this did is just expose something that's true of legislative process in general. No one reads the platform, and yet historically the Democratic Party has carried language in its platform that recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Of course, it's an optimistic saying among some Jews, next year in Jerusalem. So it's a core emotional issue. Meanwhile, of course, both parties, when they govern the country, are far more pragmatic in terms of how they handle it, not formally moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, but remaining in Tel Aviv. I might say I have kind of distorted sense of it because I was in the New York delegation where politicians here really had a tough morning because their Blackberries and Facebook blew up with irate constituents who felt that this was an affront. And also, in some ways, George Arch pointed out, the political strategist, longtime Democrat, it hands the Romney-Ryan campaign live ammunition in the sense, remember, Romney was trying to allege that President Obama has thrown Israel under the bus. And, of course, they count, even in the platform statement, they do mention the $10 billion in military aid. And there's several quotes from leading Israeli leaders talking about President Obama's deep commitment to Israel. But leaving that out was a big deal. And then trying to fix it in the public way they did, I think, may have made certainly some really good footage for a 501c4 for the Romney-Ryan campaign.
Because the additions were voted on by voice vote, and many thought that the no's actually had it.
Well, yeah, there was a kind of, Hugo Chavez moment there where they took it three times until they got the result they wanted. And, it's interesting, going around here, I spoke to a woman who is a delegate, district leader in Manhattan, describes herself as a progressive Zionist. And she said, truth be told, my husband's Christian, I'm Jewish. Jerusalem is special to the world religions. It needs special treatment. So that was an honest assessment, and I think that was felt by people in the hall.
Now, some have pointed out that the platform used the word faith over and over, not God. Is there a significant difference?
Well, I think that the Democrats worked very hard and I think succeeded in reclaiming patriotism and the notion that, you know, Barack Obama's president has been successful in advancing national security interests. I think the key phrase they have is Bin Laden's gone and GM is back. And the one area that they needed to be more robust in if they want to be successful is this God faith question, because the president, and through the Affordable Health Care Act, has gotten himself into this long protracted battle with Catholic charities over what the Affordable Health Care Act will pay for in terms of reproductive health. So, you know, I think that you saw Elizabeth Warren successfully reclaim the New Testament and using an understanding and grasp of faith to support the Democratic point of view. And so it was just a kind of dissonance then to have to say, well, we got to go back and pencil God. It just drew more attention to it, I think.
We also had one of the nuns on the bus speaking. I'm assuming that was the Democrats' attempt to wash down some of the criticism that we've been hearing that they're anti-Catholic.
Well, it's true that within, and this is, of course, a longstanding tradition going back to the Berrigans, even before that, Dorothy Day, that the Catholic Church has a significant platform that talks about lifting up the poor in an affirmative way in terms of social justice. That's part and parcel of the pro-life, death penalty message. And unfortunately, it seems that, you know, everyone will use religion for their purposes kind of like a prop. And so I guess the hardest thing here and I talked to a lot of grassroots activists who helped President Obama in 2008 win, is they feel that he stopped telling the narrative. And so now they have two jobs: one, to get him reelected and get people to care, and then two, to explain what he's actually done during his presidency, because they're telling me that he kind of gave up on keeping people up to date on it.
Now, it's been said that the president requested the inclusion of God and recognition of Jerusalem because he was concerned about the fact that they hadn't been included. Now, let's talk a bit about Sandra Fluck. I'm always confused about how to pronounce her name, by the way. She was moved back so that her speech could be aired in prime time. She's the Georgetown law student who was barred from speaking at a congressional hearing and then was attacked by Rush Limbaugh. We have a clip about how President Obama responded to the situation.
An America in which our president, when he hears that a young woman has been verbally attacked, thinks of his daughters, not his delegates or his donors. And in which our president stands with all women and strangers, come together and reach out and lift her up. And then, instead of trying to silence her, you invite me here.
Should we be surprised that Democrats have been talking so much about reproductive rights to the point where they also had Cecile Richards, the daughter of former Texas Governor Ann Richards, but more important, the head of Planned Parenthood, as a speaker?
Well, I think that this goes to the fact that the Republican Party has become pretty much subsumed, particularly as expressed in the platform, by the very strict anti-abortion folks, and that is, as a consequence, it's left the Democrats this opening. I mean, I did speak to, back in Tampa, single Republican women who were concerned, who were young, entrepreneurial people who buy the, if you will, the kind of JC, young business person message they find attractive in Romney, but winced when they were talking about the approach to being anti-gay marriage and such a very narrow definition with no exceptions for abortion. So I think that this is something that that the Obama people, this is just what the territory has left, and it's an opportunity they'd be remiss to it. And I think there's also a core belief there. I also noticed here that the New York State delegation has risen to national prominence in an interesting way because it has embraced same-sex marriage. That has given the New York State a kind of we know the suffrage movement was born in New York. That's kind of it made them given them some kind of currency where they're invited to other places. And certainly City Council Speaker Quinn has really enjoyed some additional prominence out of that.
I'm talking with WNYC senior reporter Bob Henley, part of the WNYC team that is now covering the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. Earlier went down to Tampa to cover the Republican convention. Bill Clinton, who is now a New Yorker, owned the night. In the first 2 minutes of his speech, he seemed to capture what many seem to feel is a problem for Obama. His cool demeanor. Clinton tried to turn it into an asset. He was really preaching. Here's what he said.
I want to nominate a man who's cool on the outside. But who burns for America on the inside.
Was his speech a big boost for the Obama campaign, do you think?
It gave needed energy. There's been some real logistical problems that affect the psychology of the crowd. It's important to understand Charlotte has been lovely, but it's really greater Charlotte. It's very spread out. It takes, from where I am with the security and everything, perhaps 90 minutes, even though by a normal day it would be 25-minute drive downtown. So, I mean, I've made a joke to a couple of delegates, not since the Mississippi Freedom Riders have buses been such a central part of political activity. And often it means that they're dropped off places, they have to walk extended period of times. And then there's the sense that, they needed this from Bill Clinton. This is all really about indoctrination. This is about giving the delegates and the volunteers that are here the energy and a frame of reference that they can use to try to ignite the base. There was also the fact that they're going to have to shrink the number of people that are going to be able to see the president at the climactic moment this evening, going from a stadium of some 60,000 down to a hall of whatever is 15,000. That's a big hit. There's going to be a lot of unhappy people. So, and that's, of course, because of the weather. So that speech was seminal.
Now, here's a clip we've heard a lot this morning. I'd like to play it one more time.
Listen to me now. No president, no president, not me, not any of my predecessors, no one could have fully repaired all the damage that he found in just 4 years.
And you can hear the crowd going nuts out there. Is that the argument that President Obama is going to try to make in the next 9 weeks? I was wondering, as I was listening to Bill Clinton lay out all of the arguments that he saw worked against the Republicans, that he was actually creating talking points that every Democrat could use over the coming election campaign. He was kind of teaching them what to say.
Well, and I think that the reality is that, according to the Federal Reserve, the average American household from 2007 to 2011 has lost 40% of its household wealth. That's a generational shift. The reality is Americans are really ahead of their leaders, grandparents moving in with children, people consolidating their housing situation. We are still going through a very difficult period of time. The irony here is that, much like with Mitt Romney, and this must have to do with the nature of the media machine today, we're still introducing President Obama. He's been president for 4 years, and that's kind of the problem, that there's this distance, and he committed early on not to have that distance, and ironically, it seems that's what's happened.
Now, have we any sense of how Republicans have been responding to this 48-minute speech? Because he seemed to also talk a bit, give the Republicans some compliments. He talked about cooperation, gave credit to President George W. Bush for his work with AIDS to AIDS victims in poor countries through the PEPFAR program. And Republicans during their convention seem to refer to Clinton fairly favorably.
I think that what we're seeing here is this the centrist approach that always worked for President Clinton. At heart, he's a pragmatist. It also just happens to be coincidentally, not saying he's driven by focus groups, but that swing voters respond to that kind of collegiality and they long for it. They want to see leaders lead. They want to see people come together. The problem is, at the federal level, there's tremendous incentive for the Congress to go at each other as a partisan blood sport. And I think to some degree because of the media, we're seeing this, you know, now, whether it be MSNBC or Fox, they're pretty much preaching to or reaching to the prejudices and predilections of their viewers. So we really see this kind of alienation from the center. And so when Bill Clinton speaks like that, he's giving something that Americans long for.
He made a claim about job creation that I thought the fact checkers would go crazy checking into. The Times reports that it turns out to be accurate. And one thing that really stood out was his discussion of the work requirement for welfare recipients. Was Clinton kind of showing Democrats how to push back on some of the attacks that we heard last week in Tampa?
Well, it is, quite frankly, again, kind of shocking that it took a former president, as you so rightly say, to break down so succinctly that smear. The fact that it had been in circulation for what, Leonard? What do you think, a month? That was the first time, you're right. It's the first time I heard it, like, you know, dismembered.
Yeah. Well, we'll sum up tomorrow. But I want to thank you for talking with us again, Bob Henley, WMIC senior reporter. We'll be talking about the role that Wall Street is playing in the election coming up in the next segment.